15 to 20 million.
Jedi, I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We are national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. I am speaking to you today from beautiful Philadelphia. We had a nice coating of snow last night. We have Mark Andel, who I understand has got Florida weather over there. And I understand that Rich Logis, who is with us too, he really is having some real cold weather down there. Or is it a little bit of the vice versa there? But I'm asking you, as always, to go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in. Let them know that we're here on 860 AM, or they can go to the computer and visit us and hear us live from anywhere in the world by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. Well, gentlemen, we are now one day, almost a day, after the president's speech, and I'm sure that many Americans heard and saw the president's State of the Union speech. And did it really change your life, Mark?
Well, you're right that it's cold up here. That changed my life. But no, you know, I caught bits and pieces, watched it a little at the end, and you know, people talking about it. Basically, I don't think either side was happy with the content and seen or heard much different, you know, things. And we all need, you know, we know we need action now, Mike. And, you know, there's things that just we got to get going in the right direction. So it didn't, again, I've got to watch the whole thing. I always tape it, but I did catch bits and pieces, but I don't think there was a lot of change.
Well, Larkin watched it, and Larkin is teaching a class this morning, but he called me and he said, when I get my break time, which is going to be a little bit after 11 o'clock, between 11 and 11:15, I'm going to call in and give just a five-minute overview of the speech. But I watched the entire thing, and I was concerned that there seemed to be a lot of talk, but no answers to the problems we're having here in the USA, especially like with this unbelievable cold blast that we're experiencing here in the Philadelphia area. And you're experiencing it up there in Buffalo, Mark, and the whole East Coast is really experiencing it. The thing is, there's no talk about how, what are we going to do to help people who are really experiencing major increases in their gas bills and things like that. There's just no talk from any national elected leader. In fact, when I saw them come in yesterday, I was somewhat disappointed because it's too much pomp and circumstance. It's just endless talk. They are all coming in to slap each other on the shoulders and kiss each other. It's almost like a bring in the clowns. I was ready to start singing. Where are the clowns? Hey, there ought to be clowns.
If I could, you know, you just touched on the rising gas prices, but I had a good meeting with, we sell Boss Snowplows, so their head guy Chuck and Mark came down from Iron Mountain, Michigan yesterday. And a lot of people might realize, but might not realize, propane is number one, getting hard to get, but also went from, we sell propane, we have a 1,000-gallon tank here, but went from, say, $2.50, $3 a gallon to $7 a gallon. And up in the UP, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, you know, if you're, a lot of them can't have natural gas. So, they, you know, a lot of these houses in, you know, different rural areas are just propane. And it takes a $900 payment to $2,500 payment a month. And we talked about that. And then we said, okay, you had to, you know, increase in some health insurance. You had the FICA last year. You got, you know, gas up. And the disposable income, you know, that's what you just touched on. But these gas prices now are hurting not only older people, but, you know, you're in rural areas. A lot of people don't know this propane crunch. And I'd like to find out more. And maybe you can ask your guru to tell us about that and why it's three times higher within a week or two.
And I did speak, by the way, to Greg this morning.
Did you?
And he said to me that he wants to come on Wednesday. Today they are doing something. There is some major report coming up, and they have to put it out on the net and get it the word out to all of their contacts. So he said that he is kind of busy, but he'll be listening in. But he will give us a report in the near future.
But could you imagine your bill go, you know, three times a month already, the 25 on, especially if you're fixed income, or, you know, it's just crazy.
But, you know, Mark, the thing that's really sad about this whole thing is if a dollar gets into your pocket, whether you're working, whether you're on Social Security or any other type of pension program, a dollar is a dollar. It's not a dollar and a quarter. So you can't go into death paying your taxes on your house, heating your home, doing all these things, making sure your roof doesn't leak so when it snows or rain, you're not with another Pandora box to fix the walls inside the house and everything else. And yet no one on a national level really addresses any of those problems. They just seem to gloss over everything. If it was me, quite honestly, after looking at them yesterday, Rich, especially, I know that when you look at these people enter the room, you must think they're the same people that put us in debt for the last 30 years. And on one of the stations I was watching, I watched it on two television sets, they were announcing this one was in for 37 years. This one's been in there for 40 years, 29 years. I mean, it's almost foolish to know that the same person is in there and all they've done is put us in debt. We're in a crisis in America like no other. We're talking more sensible things on this radio broadcast. Yesterday, the president mentioned something like this was going to be a year of change. I didn't get exactly what that meant. But we're talking about making 2014 the year of American made for people to go out of their way, to look for labels, to speak up, to help people. And by the way, talking about you up there in Buffalo area, a gentleman contacted me that I know who has a sister-in-law, someone living up in Warsaw, New York.
Goes 20 miles from me.
Over to your store on a pretty regular basis. In fact, they told me that there's another gentleman, he's from, I always talk about Jamestown and the first settlement and the Polish settlers, and he's from Jamestown, New York. I don't even know where that
about
is.
About an hour and a half.
Is that an hour? He said to me, I've been to Mark's store. I was up even at his place up over there over the summer. I saw the store, and I know who this guy is. He's a great promoter and things like that. So I was really pleased, and they listened to our show. So
a shout out
to our people in Warsaw and Jamestown, New York.
Very good. You know, Mike, when you bring up the president, you know, coming on, and again, I've got to listen to the whole, you know, I've heard bits and pieces, but could you imagine if he came on and said, you know, go out and buy Made in America products this week. Support your local manufacturers, your communities, and your country. Could you imagine? It'd be the Marlboro Man promoting cigarettes, you know.
You're absolutely right.
That alone would change the country.
Mark, it seems. Do you know, if I'm not mistaken, it was Thomas Jefferson who disbanded the actual State of the Union because he thought it was too royalistic. And I think it came back about 100 years ago. It could have been, if my memory serves me right, in the administration of Roosevelt. He reinstated the State of the Union. But as I looked around there yesterday, I thought, look at the money that has been wasted yesterday to get all of those people there, the security and everything else. All of those dollars should have been put into the coffers to really help our businesses, give them a break. I was so angry last night that I said they should eat bread and drink water every day in Washington until America's national debt is paid down to zero. What do you say to that, Rich?
I say we'd have some very thin Congress people. That happened, Michael. And good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
Larkin, I'm really interested to know what class it is you're teaching. And I do want to mention, Larkin, that one of your items, the Santa, was I knew would be talked about last night with immigration, that issue. And I've got some cautious optimism about immigration reform. I don't mean to bring the cynicism level down on the show, but I don't know how you guys feel and how many listeners feel, but I just feel like I've been watching the same State of the Union for years.
Exactly.
You just change the talkers and the clappers. And with having said that, though, I do think there's some sun through the clouds with the immigration issue. I do like that minimum wage was talked about, but a lot of good things have been talked about at State of the Union addresses over the years. And the question now is, will the talk translate into legislative action? So my approach to these State of the Unions, just like with new Congresses and new elected officials, is always let's see what they do. And I just think that when you look at the end result of what they do, collectively the parties just kind of blur in terms of what they do, which is some perhaps individual members of the parties look to stand out, whereas most others just go along with what the parties dictate, and if they stray too far from the party line, they get reeled back in. So I do want to see, and I do think there is some positive to talk about with immigration and with minimum wage, although I still would argue that $10 an hour is, and I understand that the president is trying to put his best compromising foot forward, but these issues, to Larkin's wish list items, the immigration and minimum wage issues are, to me, kind of just getting started.
You know,
so we're going to see where they go.
You're right. And you know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see all of the elected officials for the next 4 years go on to minimum wage. No more pensions or anything like that. As you say so often, Rich, that they win the lottery when they win the election. Boy, that is so true, and I've heard that from a dozen and one people, that is almost better than winning the lottery when you win an elected official's position, because you're pampered from one place to another. You're given chauffeurs and security and food. And when I mentioned that they should have food, just bread and water, served to them for the next 4 years, I think they should be on minimum wage, so that they would understand what a large portion of the American people are experiencing. Let me just say this. If the president got up there yesterday, and not only, I'm not picking on Obama or Bush or Reagan or anybody, the presidents are supposed to take a picture of the United States of America and say, what's really happening in this country to our people? If he got up there yesterday and said what I say in the commentaries, ladies and gentlemen, we have 317 million people in America. And by the way, we only have 145 million people able to have a full or part-time job. That should have been the main part of the speech. What are we going to do about it? Now, he should have also said, with that sad statistic, we should hear how he's going to document a plan next year, how we're going to generate 10 million private sector jobs in America, and the way our national leaders are going to make that possible through incentive programs. He should have not only handed the speech to Biden and also to Boehner, he should have handed them a plan and said, this is the plan that I am proposing. Help me as of this day to get 10 million people employed this year through private sector, 10 million employed next year through the private sector, and let's move on and get with it. What do you say to that?
Well, Michael, if it, and I'm going to at the risk of repeating myself over and over, I do want to reiterate something that I've said before, which is this. I don't care what any statistic says. The majority of Americans, their line of thinking is similar. And I'm not saying it's exactly the same. There's going to be disagreements on how to achieve results and compromises. But the way to get the two parties, see, what the electorate has to start to begin asking itself is, how do we really start to get the two parties working on true health care reform, minimum wage, getting people working, getting people trained, getting people skilled, all of the various things we talk about on this show week in and week out? How is it that we get the two parties working together? And that answer is a little difficult, I think, for people to accept, Michael, because when you've got lifetime politicians, when you have unlimited amounts of money that can be spent to elect, when you've got basically the two parties as they've cooperatively conspired to keep others out, what the end result of it is there's not really a hell of a lot of incentive to work together.
Right.
Because we have to keep up this I'm on this side and he's on that side, and you know, they're both bad, but he's a little less bad. And this is the end result. That way of thinking, this is the end result. You know, the president went from, if you look at his earlier State of the Unions, you know, very ambitious, very, very hopeful, right, as his campaign theme was, to kind of like, you know, defiant, right? You know, sort of like, well, I'm doing this with or without you. Now, some are going to argue, well, he's forced to do that. Others are going to argue, well, he's not a uniter. He's a divide. You know, all this crap that we talk about in the mainstream media, you know, those buzzwords. So that's, you see how it's transformed itself. And it's transformed itself this way because when it comes to elections, people, Michael, just don't really have much choice.
Right.
And there's no incentive for the parties to really, for Boehner and the president to sit, for an Eric Cantor and a Pelosi to sit down and say, forget our differences on social issues and moral issues and evolution versus creationism and all that crap that has nothing to do with politics and economic issues at all, and get them working together. How do we do it? Well, Michael, we've got to force them to work together. How do you force them to work together? I think the answer to that is other.
Absolutely, Rich. And I'm looking forward to dedicating an entire hour to possibly a third and fourth party, because many people are talking about it. People are tired of it. You know, it's nice to see all this happening in America and hear all this discussed. But actions speak louder than words.
Hey, Mike and Rich, have you watched American Idol at all? You know what the show is? American Idol, where they...
I don't watch it regularly, but
well, just that process, when I looked at it, now my wife watches whatever, but 10,000 people they start with, okay? And they go state to state, and you got to get qualified, you got to get judged, and then they end up with one star. Could you imagine a system? Rich, I'm always bringing up that you say two choices, and you can compare that to pop in a store, or how many choices we have for deodorant. And I'm always using, and I agree with you, the more you think about it, two choices for presidency. But could you imagine a selection system where you had, you know, 10,000 and 1,000 down to 50, down to one?
Well,
and
you know, that's why
a great salesman like our president is an outstanding salesman, but he doesn't have the nice what he's selling.
He's a great salesman, but there's all words and no tomorrow.
Yeah, I woke up. Got to come up with the product.
Yeah, I woke up this morning and nothing was changed. I didn't have anything that I could say, well, today I am doing this. Today I'm going to buy only American because even the president is pushing it.
Just that, if he said that, would help this country.
It would help this country enormously.
Just like World News did.
And if he said, as an example, gentlemen, we are all going to get minimum wage for the next 3 years, the balance of my administration, I'm sure there would be no clapping about that. And let's see if he could do that by executive order. If it was me, I would do it. I would say, you, half of the people in there have been in there so long that they forgot that they've been putting America in debt for so long. They forgot. Gentlemen, I have to pause for a few acknowledgments of our sponsors, but I'd like to say that we have many outstanding dentists in the Philadelphia area, and Dr. Eva Machak is one of them without question. She has two dental offices to serve you. One is at 3084 Armingo Avenue in Port Richmond. The other is at 4250 Richmond Street in the Bridesburg section of Philadelphia. You can call Dr. Eva Machak at 215-739-2787. And if you have legal needs, we have a very outstanding sponsor and very well-respected attorney in Philadelphia, Mr. Leon Mankowski, attorney at law, and his office is located at 2624 East Allegheny Avenue in Philadelphia. He's there Monday through Friday from 9 in the morning until 5 in the evening, and he does have additional evening hours every Tuesday. You can call Leon Mankowski at 215-739-8521. And Rich and Mark, when you come to Philadelphia next, I want to take you over to the Sugar House Casino, and that's located at 1001 North Delaware Avenue in Philadelphia. You can check it out for yourself at sugarhousecasino.com. And we've had some brutal weather here in the East Coast. And if you're looking to do some travel, maybe you want to go to Europe or any place in the USA, no better place to call than the Polish American Travel Service, located at 2714 East Allegheny Avenue. That's at Tilton and Allegheny Avenue in Philadelphia. For more information, you can give them a call at 215-634-3396. And there are so many things happening today in the world. And if you're looking for auto, home, or life insurance, remember that Karen Janod is a faithful sponsor of our broadcast. You can give her a call. She's a State Farm agent, and she can be contacted at 215-862-5490. And when you go shopping, remember always to look for the Giorgio name. Mr. Jan Majewski, president and CEO, welcomes you to check out Giorgio, a symbol of quality since 1928. Look for their outstanding mushroom products and frozen food items where you shop. And also, when you are in the area of a Washington Savings Bank, stop by. And Mr. Martin Bednarek wishes all of you the very best and invites you to visit them at their locations. And for more information, give them a call at 215-698-9400. And Michael Steinman, attorney at law, is another very well-known attorney in the Philadelphia area. He has two offices to serve you. One is at 17th and JFK Boulevard. The other is at 8510 Busselton Avenue. For more information, call Michael Steinman, attorney at law, 215-564-1866. And Rich and Mark, when you're in Philadelphia, I'm going to take you to the Net Cost Market. And they're located at 117,001 Busselton Avenue in Philadelphia. And you'll enjoy a little bit of Europe while you're here in Philadelphia, as they offer the finest meats, groceries, dairy products, beverages, sweets, and so much more. Check them out for yourself by going to the Net Cost Market, located at 117,001 Busselton Avenue. That's at the Leo Mall, just off Byberry Road and Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. Well, gentlemen, I want to return to our subject, which is, as I listened to our good president yesterday and all of the pundits on the TV with all the suggestions of what should and shouldn't be done, I thought to myself, what we're experiencing is a lot of hot air from everybody. And what the country is experiencing really is death by a thousand stabs. You know what that means? If you stab someone once, they could bleed to death. But a thousand stabs takes you a long time to die. And that's really what we're experiencing. Very few jobs. We need 47 million jobs in the USA to get us to where we should be. We have young people getting out of school in June. We have had young people for the last 2 years coming out with great degrees and a lot of bills to follow them, but no job for them to earn money, pay down their bills, and live the American dream. So they're also experiencing what I call death by a thousand stabs. And that's unfortunate. And we're working, all of us, you, Mark, are in the system. You have a good number of employees. Look at the several locations you're trying to keep alive so that the spirit of what you're trying to do with the Made in America store continues. You are doing more in your community than those 535 people are doing in Washington, D.C.
Well, you know, it's definitely true. And these times, again, they have to know how hard it is. And I don't think they do know because they're not sitting in that seat. But they have to be able to adjust their seat or get to the towns that are hurting. January traditionally is the toughest month of the year for, you know, our businesses, especially retail. And this coldest year, the coldest winter, although it helps my one side of the business with the plows and repairs, it's 1% of us that helps, but the retail, it really slowed. The older people just don't go out in these colds. We've had, it was 25 below wind chill last night. We're below, I think we're 5 below right now, regular temperature. So January is a tough month. I've got to make, you know, you do cuts and you try to stay as tight as you can because the year kind of builds up from January, February, March, first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter is our largest, but you've got to make it to your fourth quarter. You need cash flow. And, Mike, so many times they just don't understand what we're going through, and the more disposable income you cut, we need help now. We need work. Work creates jobs, and that's where we just got to keep going. And, Rich, you're trying – we got to stay positive with it, but we've got to get them to – you know, act now, and like you said, seeing what we see last night, it's the same old story, so they don't truly get it.
Well, you know, I thought of you yesterday, Mark, when the president mentioned that there have been more small business loans circulated in the system and all, and I thought, oh, God, I got to hear Mark's opinion on that.
Yeah, you know, I've got startup businesses. Of course, we support startup business, inventors, entrepreneurs. What we go through, the bank is just starting to pressure again because the holidays are over. They were nice. They started, hey, let's go to lunch. Now they say, hey, do you got your review level statements? Do you got all your data? You know, they start on you because it's that time of year. And this is an established business for, I'm 25 years this August as General Welding, 30 years in business just about out of my dad's garage. So this is a business that's been around, but it's just a sign of the times, these banks and the loans. And I don't care who you ask it. I want to know who's getting the loans, because if I asked every business friend I know in my area, and I know a lot of people, not one has had it easy or not one bank has stepped forward to give them any loan. It's a lot of work, and you cannot get money for cash flow.
Absolutely, and that's all I've been hearing, Mark. Everywhere I go, people are telling me it's impossible to get a loan, and what really is spooking them off is the fact that if they're having so much trouble just getting access or someone to consider what they're trying to do in the future, then they feel that they're doomed already. Before they start, they're already doomed because the people who could lend them the loan don't even want to hear their proposals.
Right, you can't,
Mark,
get the door open.
You let me know, Mark. You let me know where they got those, where those businesses, established, reputable, credible, profitable businesses got their loans, probably from the bank of Corleone, Soprano, and Capone, you know, facilitated by the firm of Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. I'd like to know,
where they come from. You know what I mean.
And I'll tell you, we just finished, you know, we just finished up in RJL. We just finished 2013 with our highest revenue year ever. And look, I'm not looking for – Mark, I know you're not the same. Our business associates, we're not looking for something for nothing.
No.
But see, let me ask you something. You'd had a good year, Rich, but did that mean your expenses stayed level, or were you overwhelmed with more and more expenses?
Expenses in business, while perhaps not 100% true all the time, they go up every year. I mean, something's always going up to contend with, which you know, as a business owner, you've got a lot of moving parts. We have a lot of, like Mark, you do, we have a lot of we have a variety of people whom we deal with, different personalities, different demands, different competitors who come out of nowhere. All of these things that we need to deal with as a business owner. And I do agree that those in government in general, state and local, federal, they don't really have a heck of a grasp on that. I mean, they just, you know, they don't. If you just look at the backgrounds of many of them, you know, they get elected and there's something about those individuals that the parties like. And when you've got, and here's why our two-party system, Michael, and I'm going to give a promo for something. Here's why it's basically dead on arrival is because a truly well-intended candidate, if he or she intends to run and try to keep getting elected and stay and retain his or her position, has to stay within the party lines. And my promo is that I'm hoping next week, and if not next week, in the next couple weeks, we're going to have a professor on. I've invited a political science professor from Brigham Young, Richard Davis. He's written recently on what he thinks is the growing American desire for alternative parties. And when I spoke with him about this, about coming on, and he's very excited to come on, I said, Professor, just like with the State of the Union, I feel like I've been reading about America's desire for alternative parties for years. I feel like I read about it in 2000. I read about it in 2004. It was probably written about in 1992 and 1996 when Perot ran. So he's going to come on and talk about why he thinks now might be a little bit of a different time. So just as a preview for listeners, looking to have him on next week, Michael, but if not next week, in the near future.
Very good. And in fact, Mark mentioned something earlier, which we discussed a couple months ago, that maybe we should have a candidate from every state. I like that. I think that states right now should be gathering the best people qualified to be the president to represent their state. And just like the Miss America pageant, every state submits the best person that they feel for the job. And from there, we can generate the candidate who will represent the Democrat, the Republican, the Independent, and or the Logist Party or whatever. We have to have more choices. As I looked at the people yesterday, I looked with pity upon them because these are the same people that are placing America in debt every second. Look at the debt clock on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com, and you'll see the debt clock doesn't go down every second. It goes up. And this is unfortunate. That means our economy is down. Our gross domestic product is less than our national debt. We have more people on unemployment. What we're talking about during this broadcast is about bringing people to real full-time jobs, lasting jobs. Bring the jobs back. It was mentioned in the speech yesterday to bring new jobs to America, and it was very good. The question is, how are we going to bring those people back? Is there a proposal to say for the next 10 years you will get this type of tax break for every full-time person that you hire and train so that that person would have a lifelong job skill to share? That's where we're missing the boat in America. And no Americans are attacking the national leadership. In fact, when the professor comes on, Rich, I am going to give some definite outlines why this two-party system is ridiculous anymore. Because one says, well, the other wants this and the other wants that. But there's nobody else at the table. If one of the parties walk away, that's it. And that's not what modern day world needs. We need many parties, especially in the greatest country on earth. When people say there's more people being employed, yeah, there's a few more, part-time people being employed. The people that contact me through my agency, through my different travels where I go, they tell me, Michael, I now have two part-time jobs to make up for what I had as a full-time job for 15 years. That in itself is taking away part of the American dream. I just had a major battle, and Mark, you'll understand this. I had a major battle with the insurance company, the healthcare insurance. I've been telling them that the 17% is outrageous. It can't be paid. We're an agency, not a business where we just raise the prices. 17%. So instead of them finding ways to help, they say, well, maybe it's time for all of your employees to go individually and pay on their own. It'll save everybody money, save you aggravation in the future. The new Affordable Care Act stuff is going to be coming in. This is mandated. That is mandated. There's never an answer. I said, I want a conference call with all of you to see what are we going to do. And from what you do for me, I will help others to know about that information. We can't just throw people out the door. A new regulation comes in. Who needed that regulation with Obamacare or anything else? We just didn't need it.
You know, and I'll address this to Mark as I have. You know, Mark, in your day-to-day work as the owner of the company, expanding, training, competing, why is Mark Andel sitting around trying to figure out the health care for his employees? That's stupid. I mean,
you know,
Mark,
Rich,
you sit around and figure
exactly
out your employees' auto insurance?
Yeah.
Like, you sit around and go, hey, you guys need renter's insurance? No, you don't do that because that's stupid. So why are CEOs and executives, why have for you, not just now, Michael, it's remember, it's pre and post Affordable Care Act, and when Paul Downs was on, and Paul made some very valid and good points, and he's another individual I want to have back on.
Yes.
But Paul himself, I bet, and again, he alluded to it, and I don't want to speak for him, but I bet he would agree. Why am I sitting around figuring out health care? That's stupid. I pay my employees. They have a Medicare deduction. I don't have to spend time figuring that out.
Exactly.
That. I don't have to do any of that crap. So if I want to go and just have access to medicine, because a single-payer system is not a perfect system, it's not perfect. To this day, Michael, we still see horror stories about Medicare waste and fraud, and that has to improve, okay? A pre- and post-Affordable Care Act. At best, the Affordable Care Act is a Band-Aid on a gushing arterial wound.
Absolutely.
Let's simplify American democracy and American legislation and American economic policy.
You know, Rich, you're right. And by the way, Mark, all of us going through this, working with healthcare programs to keep our staff, you know, with healthcare, Americans really want a healthcare system that provides them the best care at the most reasonable cost. And I really believe, Mark, it's time for them to document how much healthcare is being spent on any given individual. I can't find out. It would be nice if some of the people could go to the pharmacist and say, okay, your prescription was worth $100, you're paying $10, and your insurance provider's paying the $90. We can't see any of that. So that's where a lot of this nonsense just continues to go on and on and on. And Mark gets hit with 20%, 19%, 15%. There seems to be no end to the people having, you know, to pay up, where the people in Washington have no idea what's going on because it's in legislation that it's automatically provided to them. They get their annual automatic raise. That's why I would like to see them on minimum wage. I'd like them to go to their congressional dining room and have bread and water served for 1 year so they would wise up and take a look at the rest of the people. Gentlemen, can you hold on 1 minute? I have to acknowledge a few of our very faithful sponsors who are very pleased with what we do and what we have to say here on American Workers Radio. And I want to thank Mark and Rich for being with me today. And Larkin is teaching his class. And I want to mention something before I go to the advertisements. We are having a press conference this Monday, February the 3rd. We're having one at 10 o'clock in the morning. And that's going to be at the Liberty Bell Diner on Frankfort Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. That's 10 a.m. And then at 2 in the afternoon, we're having a press conference at the Armingo Diner at on Armingo Avenue in Port Richmond off Westmoreland Street. And what are we doing? We're promoting National Small Business Weekend. As you know from a past announcement, it has been passed in the city of Philadelphia as a special resolution, and now it is being passed as we speak in the State House and also in the Senate of Pennsylvania, which states Pennsylvania supports National Small Business Weekend the first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of every month. Talking about local people who are elected and understanding what it takes for their local businesses to stay in business. Our national elected officials don't understand what is going on, but our state and local people do. And just the fact that they have proposed this, and I understand that in the Senate of Pennsylvania, under the direction of Senator Michael Stack, it has been unanimously approved. So we're going to be talking about that at a press conference on Monday. But let me get back. I get back to our sponsors. I want to thank Mr. Chester Kshanowski and all of his staff from Serena's Auto Body Shop, located at 6201 Oxford Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. And they have a second location at 691 Bethlehem Pike in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania. After the snow is gone and you need to have the car spruced up, make sure you contact Serena's Auto Body Shop at 215-535-6606. And the next portion of our broadcast is also being presented by the Polish National Alliance, America's largest ethnic fraternal life insurance and investment organization. You can give them a call at 1-800-621-3723. And don't forget about Net Cost Market. Boy, I'll tell you, the people have been going there and letting me know that it's an unbelievable experience. They're located at 117,001 Busselton Avenue at the Leo Mall in Northeast Philadelphia, open 7 days a week. Stop by and see for yourself. And Valentine's Day is coming up very soon, and I encourage you to contact Rose Garden Flower Shop. They're located at 2964 Richmond Street in Philadelphia. You can give them a call at 215-634-5766. And also, best wishes to you, and thank you for your patronage from Yolanda Konopatska de Scipio, attorney at law. For all of your legal needs, give her a call at 215-423-4824. And also best wishes from the Polish Roman Catholic Union of America, known as the PRCUA, celebrating their 140th anniversary of service. We have a great relationship with these people. A shout out to Sharon and Joanne. And I want you to know that they have outstanding life insurance plans, annuities, fraternal benefits, and so much more. For additional information, you can give them a call at 215-425-3807 or check them out on the internet at prcua.org. And also, Nina Tita is inviting you to contact her if you'd like to take a trip around the world or around the USA. She's located at 2626 East Allegheny Avenue. For more information, give her a call at 215-634-6006. And one of our faithful sponsors, Dr. Włodzimierz Zinn and Everest Dental, located at 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, wants to remind you that he provides quality services at affordable prices. For more information, give him a call at 215 215- 671-0188. And when you are in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia, and when you come up next, Rich, we were over at Polka Deli once before on Allegheny Avenue. I'm inviting all of our listeners to stop by Polka Deli at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue in Port Richmond, where you'll find Polish-style meats and deli products, as well as imported items from Poland and many Polish, American, and American-made products as well. For more information, contact Polka Deli at 215-634-3750 or stop by at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue. Well, gentlemen, going back to our issue of the day, and that was the State of the Union speech, and many of the people I spoke to last night, I was up till around 11:45 just speaking to some people with their reactions. People are concerned, and they're concerned because too many people are dependent upon government at this time, and that's really not appropriate. We have more people in need of food stamps because their income is not enough for them to get by. With the price of gas going up, the price of food and everything else, people are forced to depend on food stamps and other government programs. Our plan, especially on this broadcast, and Mark, what you've done, and Rich, what you've promoted, and what Larkin has promoted, is getting people to be self-sufficient. That is really what the American dream is all about. And Mark, I know you can address this issue. People are talking more and more that Americans want to restore trade and industrial arts programs in our schools. That's a big, big loss. That should have never been allowed to be cut down. In Philadelphia, of all the schools that we have, very few have industrial arts programs and the trades. That's unfortunate. How is things going up in your area?
Well, my plan coming into this year was to, you know, get healthy and self-sufficient. That's always my two top words. And one of my big emphasis is on training. And I'm training within, so I have 45 employees, but on my welders, I want my welders, I call it like a SEAL team. I want them to know all three processes of welding and be certified. So whatever job I win, whatever work I get, I can handle with my team and make them more trained, more educated, and even in social media or wherever we need it. I do have a friend of the family. My boys, again, were twins, just going on 19, but had 20 friends, and a couple of them went all different directions, college and whatnot. And the one just got back from the Marines. He became a Marine Friday. Mason was like my son, and he spent the night at the house Sunday night to Monday, and talking to him, and, you know, he finished the 12-week course and the 13 weeks, and, you know, I said it the next morning, he shook my hand and gave me a hug, and I said, you know, thank you. You love the country. Tell all your Marines, you know, what we're doing with our store and that it stands for you. And, you know, he joined because he loves the country. But seeing that, I asked him, you know, what are you going for? And you wouldn't believe it. He's going for welding.
Very good.
And it was outstanding. And number one, Mike, I mean, it's nice that they have a program now. It's brand new. So it shows me somebody knows I'm looking for welders. We're looking for skilled people. You know, to see this young Marine, I got two of their friends. You know, it's awesome to me. And me, you, Rich, Larkin, Mike, we love the country. You know, that's why we're doing what we're doing. You know, and we've got to get more people to have that can-do spirit and live that American dream. I am seeing, you know, some change. It's subtle. We want to stay positive. We've got to change. You've got to get the training. But people, you know, this work ethic, I do have a friend in Georgia that, you know, Clyde Strickland, that actually helped promote and cover and design the movie. And he just called me the other day, and he has an entrepreneurial school opening. It was a $100 million project, their whole group down there, and it's going to open down in Gwinnett, Georgia next year. It's going to be the first entrepreneurial school in the country. Which
wonderful.
You can go to a school, a university, and study entrepreneurism. I hope they can teach work ethic, because that's one thing that we're losing. A good, solid work ethic, and it's okay to be self-sufficient and cover yourself. And you're right, Mike, it is the American dream.
Yes, you know what? If we can only get back to basics, where our schools would have people available with just at least one job skill to offer future employers, when they get out of school, that they have, they know this or that, whether it's welding or fixing cars and or electrical or woodwork, whatever, that you have a foundation to start with. You can then go to a company and continue your training. But right now, it's great to see everybody on computers, but they have no hands-on experience.
And you know, with the new social media world and whatnot, it's great, but there's no relationships. You know, we can talk and you see the kids, and it's kind of breaking that up. So there's got to be a balance between texting and chatting online and still talking to each other. And here I've got two other young gentlemen from our town, from our school. One wants to go to Ohio Tech and one wants to go to Alfred for welding. And, you know, they're both working for me. I got them on one night a week. I couldn't do more, but just showing them, giving them a taste of it. But you're right. Nobody really realizes I can't find welders. That's not a myth. That's the truth.
Yeah, well, that's very discouraging.
Yes.
When you hear people say that I would bring in more people, but I really can't find qualified people. And for me to start from scratch, it's difficult. So having those trade and industrial arts program restored in the schools, it's really beneficial to everyone in America to promote that. Not only the school districts, in fact, some of the school districts are hearing our word and say it's going to take a little bit of time to restore those programs, but we have to do it because we're graduating thousands of kids each year, but thousands of children are not going to be able to get jobs, you know, moving one piece of paper from one office to another, a plan that's approved or whatever. You need a plan approved for a certain reason, be it new construction or repairs or whatever. You got to get where everyone has access to something that they're going to be skilled at. Right now, we have a lot of kids coming out of school with great degrees, but those degrees are not going to get them anywhere except put them on the debt list. You know what I'm saying, Rich?
Michael, you know, tomorrow is tomorrow is my birthday. I'm 21 for the 16th consecutive year.
Stolat. Stolat. Stolat.
And Janky. And my wish going forward is that we as a nation, our electorate, that we stop settling for little celebration and start really demanding significant change, which I understand is not an overnight thing. You know, the minimum wage example is a good example from last night. The president was talking about pushing through a $10 an hour wage, $10.10. Well, that covers for federal contractual workers. Right. So there are still many people who are being left out. Well, their legislation couldn't get done. We can blame whose fault it is that it didn't get done, et cetera, et cetera. The majority of America, Michael, wants to see the minimum wage increase. The majority of America, if it was talked to intelligently, without the influence of the parties, without the influence of the media, which is all run by entertainment companies anyway, if America was talked to intelligently, and America conversely utilized its $1,000 cell phones and smartphones to access information that we can all access, we would see that a single payer system makes sense. See, if we just demand it, it's like the business principles of supply and demand. If we don't demand it of elected officials, don't expect it to get delivered.
Right.
I mean, don't expect it. If you don't demand it, they're not going to supply it.
Richard, I have to say this to you. Americans now feel that the term government-supported programs should be changed to taxpayer-paid-for programs. The words taxpayer-paid-for programs, since the taxpayers are paying the bills that those elected officials are authorized, and then they're administered through some government department. If people stop thinking that government is a Santa Claus, it would be better. And if they started to think that Those programs represent our tax dollars, the stuff that we're continuously asked to pay for. You would see a lot of different change. Right now, it's elected officials in the name of government giving away someone else's money. And I hate to say it, our tax dollars is that someone else's money.
Well, everybody, Michael, is paying for someone else. That's the way it's been. That's the way it's going to be. Healthcare is a perfect example. How many people pay Medicare, can't use it? Now, many of those people aren't against Medicare because there are many seniors who paid into Medicare for years and years and years, always had deductions out of their paychecks, always had deductions come out of their business taxes if they were a business owner or self-employed. So most of America doesn't want to do away with Medicare. But if most of America were talked to intelligently about what a true single-payer system is, where it's not government-run, and it's also not Mark Andel or Larkin Connolly or Rich Lowe just sitting around trying to figure out what the hell health insurance to give our employees. Mark, I don't want to put you on the spot, but how much about health insurance do you really know? I mean, really, right? You know, you're sitting around trying to figure this stuff out because you care about your employees. Well, that's not really the way that it hasn't been effective this way.
Right. I couldn't agree with you and Mike more. Mike, you saying you can't afford the 17%. Mike, you saying we don't want this responsibility. The more I think about it, I do not want that responsibility.
Yes.
And you are exactly right. I'm trying to educate myself. You try to learn, and there's no good instruction book, and you might get a plan that you got to visit your doctor 5 hours away. You save some money. I'd much rather let somebody handle that and be able to give my guys $2 to $5 more an hour.
Absolutely. Gentlemen, I have to say to you, another great hour has passed, and we're going to continue this conversation next week, especially unless we have Rich's guest come on. But I think the healthcare issue is a very huge problem that has to be resolved. Mark and Rich, I want to thank you for being part of our broadcast today. We will have a rebroadcast up on the site in a little while. I want to thank Henry Chaplinsky for making sure that all of our systems are in great working order. You can listen to broadcasts anytime by going to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be speaking more in your behalf. Remember, 2014 is the year of American Made. Please do go out and check out everything possible in your store. And if there's not enough American Made products, speak up where you shop. Until next Wednesday at 11 or this Saturday at 11, I wish all of you the very best. Happy birthday, Rich. Stolat.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Happy birthday, Rich. Have a good week.
Thank you. Bye. Thanks, guys.